Lanaya Roberts experienced her first foray into fame as a college student on campus, where everyone knew her name. Today, Lanaya is an Instagram sensation, but it wasn't always that way. Welcome to part two of Lanaya Roberts.
It's still to this day, if I was counting out, I'm just like, I'm overwhelmed by the amount of people I'm connected to continuously. But
so to be clear, so when you were in college, you became known through, you said you use Snapchat, but you became known because you did what?
I became known because I started a weather report series as a joke with my friends on my Snapchat story.
Okay.
My personal Snapchat story. And when the reason why I started was because it was super windy one day. I felt like I was in a hurricane.
Right.
I never experienced wind like that before. So I got my phone out and I was just like, hey, this is Weather by Lanaya. Do not come outside. It's crazy out here.
Right.
And one friend replied with laughing. I thought it was the coolest thing I'd ever done, but no one really reacted to it. One friend replied with laughing emojis. And I was just like, that's my green light. I'm going to do it again tomorrow because that was fun. And I just kept doing it. And I kept doing it. And I mean, when I tell you, my friends would be like, Lanaya, I know you're about to go on winter break, but can you please keep doing the weather reports when you get back home? We love them.
Oh, so this is something you did on your own.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was something that was university driven. Nope. Like you work for Citrus TV or something like that.
And nope.
You did this on your own. You became famous in your own sort of right.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, you know, I was a painting major and, you know, I'm posting these videos with my friends where, you know, it's just loved by my friends. You know, I have maybe 100 Snapchat friends or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, just people just loved the weather reports. And what I would do, it would be like this. Good morning, everyone. This is Weather Violet and I here. We are outside and it is so gloomy outside. It's very cold. So make sure you bring your coats and also don't forget your smiles, right? Because Snapchats would have to be 10 seconds shorter.
Right.
10 seconds shorter back in the day.
Right.
So it would be a very cute, sweet, short, you know, little snippet of my day. And I would just do it as soon as I got. It was just consistent. You know, it wasn't anything I could had to think about because it was something I really wanted to do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something I would have a habit of doing as soon as I left the, you know, my dorm. And so what had happened was that spring, I'll never forget, I was having a conversation with my uncle. I stayed at Syracuse during spring break. And I was just like, Uncle Dookie, I don't know what it is, but I feel like something big is about to happen in my life. Mm. Like, I don't know what it is, but I feel like something big is happening. He was just like, is it good or bad? I was just like, I don't know. And that's the scary part. I just feel like something big is about to happen. The next week, there's this thing called the campus story that started, right? And there was someone, some Snapchat fairy ahead of looking at all of the Snapchats and choosing which ones got on. Mm. And it was notoriously difficult to get on the Snapchat story.
Like, okay.
If you got on the Snapchat story, everybody would know about it. It would be like the conversation of the hour. Like, yo, you was on the campus story. Oh my God. Well, anyways, I would post, you know, my favorite videos that I would do. You know, I was always on Snapchat. And then I would think about posting the weather report. I'm just like, no, that's weird. They're probably not. That's just something I do with my friends. And then finally, I was just like, you know what? Let me just post it. And I posted it, and it got accepted. Everybody knew about it. When your story got on the campus story, in a 20,000-person campus, it would get around 5,000 to 8,000 views, right?
Wow. Right.
So literally like a huge percentage of the college campus would see it. And so I posted it and people would be like, hey, like I saw you put the girl on Snapchat, did I? Well anyways, it was Snapchat campus story. I'm not gonna get on it again. Next morning I submitted I'm doing this naturally, right? This is what I'm doing for my friends, right? I submitted again. It gets on again.
Wow.
I submitted the next day. It gets on the next day. I submitted the next day. It gets on the next day, right? All throughout the week. next thing you know, I'm walking to a party by myself, meeting up with a friend. On the way there, I get recognized 5 times. I'm walking to class, right? People are stopping me in the middle of the walkway, the middle of the sidewalk to take pictures with me.
Oh.
I'm sitting down in Ernie Davis, and I look up, and there's one person over here and one person over here. Both have their phones out. Videotaping me.
Oh, that's...
And immediately, my life...
Changed. Right.
What had happened was I was living my best life. I mean, when I tell you me and my girls could walk up to any party, any college party, freshmen could walk up to any college party. You're weather balling. Oh, my God. Come in. Yeah. Get in. Yeah.
Wow.
I could get into any party I wanted. It was like I was famous.
Right.
I was famous.
Right.
And what had happened was I was walking around campus and this guy, I was at the Ernie Davis in the dining hall, and this guy stopped me and he was just like, "You're Lanaya, like can I talk to you for a second? Like you're amazing, what?" So I sit down with him and his friends and we talk, and he's just like, "Lanaya, I have a question. You know, I'm going through a rough time. And I see you get up every day and you have a smile on your face." He was just like, "How do you do it?" And I was just like, "Well, it ain't easy." And I told him my life story. And at the end, he told me, he was just like, "Lanaya, you need to become a motivational speaker."
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, "Oh, yeah, I'll do that sometime when I'm like 40 or something." And he was just like, no, like you need to become one now.
Yeah.
And when he said that, I saw a vision, okay?
Mm.
And I was on stage with a spotlight on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I did this gesture with my hands, just like I was talking, right? And it was just like this moment, just a quick moment, but it was a vision. And I was just like, okay, like that feels good, you know? And I would pray this prayer that I had heard Oprah pray during an acceptance speech, a lifetime achievement award that she was receiving.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote it down in my journal and, you know, I just kept it in there. When I got famous on my campus, I ripped it out of my journal and I put it on my mirror. And every day I would read it, you know, and I would pray it to God.
Right.
And the prayer goes like this: "God, use me, use me, use me, use this life. I don't know what the future holds for me, but I do know that there is a vision for my life that is greater than any of my imagination can hold.
Yeah.
So God, use me, use me, use me. What would you have me to do?" So I started praying this prayer, right? And then I have this conversation with this person. I see that little vision in my mind, and then I'm still continuing to pray the prayer, and I can't help but to get this idea out of my mind.
Mm.
I can't help to get that vision out. So finally, I'm sitting down with one of my friends, and I'm talking to her, and I'm just like, "Hey, girl, like, I get this idea. You know, I think I should have a motivational speech here, you know, at Syracuse."
Mm.
And she was just like, "Lanaya, I think you should do it." And that's all I needed. I just needed some permission, you know.
Yes.
I got up and I went to the student center. How do I make an event, you know? "Oh, you should talk to this person. Go to this office. Okay, I sit down with this girl. And there is 2 weeks left of the semester. And she is just like, "Yeah, blah, blah, blah." And I'm talking to her. I'm just like, "I want to create a motivational speech out of thin air." Mm-hmm. I'm not an organization.
Right.
I don't have funding. I don't have any of this. And she was just like, "Lanaya, we have 2 weeks left of school. One of those weeks are finals week. I don't think you're able to do it." And I looked at her and I said, "Do you see this empty chair beside me?" And she said, "Yeah." And I said, "Do you know who's sitting in this chair?"
Mm.
And she looked at me and she said, "No." She had fear in her eyes. She was like, "What are you talking about, woman? Who is sitting in this empty chair?" I said, "God."
Mm.
And I said, "With God by my side, I can do anything I put my mind to."
Mm.
"I'm going to have a motivational speech in 2 weeks.
Wow.
I'll see you there." Right? So what happened was I did multiple all-nighters, and I got that motivational speech written, and I – like when I tell you someone that was willing to print the flyers for me. So when all these things easily went into place,
came together.
The only thing that was needed was me finishing the speech, getting the actual speech together. Mm-hmm. And I did it.
And so you did this in person?
I did it in person at Syracuse, and it's still on YouTube to this day.
Oh, I didn't realize
that. Loving Yourself Unconditionally.
Okay.
It got 200-something views. Uh-huh. The student newspaper covered it.
Okay.
And when the student newspaper covered it, there was a student in the school that was interning with or was a writer for Cosmopolitan magazine.
Okay.
She read the story, knew about my weather reports, and messaged me to interview me. Well, I wasn't looking at my message request on Facebook.
Right.
But guess what? Her boyfriend just happened to have painting class with me that next day. Mm. Her boyfriend asked me, he was just like, hey, did you hear from my girlfriend? She messaged you. What? She messaged me. Yeah, she works for Cosmopolitan. She interviewed me for Cosmopolitan. My interview got on Cosmopolitan online. You could still research that. The Daily Mail in the UK ended up doing a whole thing about me. And then like 17 Magazine reposted it from Cosmo or something.
Right.
It was just like, oh my God, it was just like such a wonderful moment. And then I posted the speech online. It got 225 views. I think to this day it has like 500 views or something. But one person out of those 225 views was Arianna Huffington.
Wow.
And Arianna Huffington got her people to contact my people. So that, not my people.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, people back then.
No, I didn't have people back then with the hill. But contacted me and asked me if I wanted to be a college correspondent with them or with the Huffington Post.
Okay.
And so I began to do videos with the Huffington Post. Right. It was this whole ordeal. It was incredible. What an incredible experience. And something that I thought was going to be over after a week actually ended up lasting. Not the college correspondent thing, because Arianna Huffington ended up leaving the Huffington Post and selling it or something, literally within the same time period that I became a college correspondent. And so the project fell through.
Okay.
But I ended up like continuing to do the weather reports and continued it all the way up to my senior year.
Wow. So so when you left college, did you miss any of that? I mean, because I know you explained, I don't know if it was off record or whatever, or not off record, but off the air, that you weren't, you know, you didn't necessarily care for that amount of attention. Did you miss that though when it was over?
I loved it. I like thrived in it. Okay. You know what I mean? Like it was something that's just very in alignment with like who I am.
Sure. And,
you know, who I'm meant to be. But it comes with a price.
With a price.
Like people don't realize this, but being anonymous and being capable of being anonymous is a gift.
Mm.
To walk into a room or to go into a grocery store and know confidently that when you walk into that grocery store, if someone knows you, you're probably going to know them too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Like if someone sees you and be like, I know you, you're going to look up and you'll be like, oh my gosh, we went to high school together.
Sure.
Right?
Right.
But if you go into a space and you're now hyperly aware, not just aware, but hyperly aware, right? When you're used to people videotaping you without your permission,
mm-hmm.
posting it to their friends because they don't see you as a human. They see you as Weather Balanaya. They see you as this celebrity, right? So it's not, I'm seeing this regular human. No. I'm seeing this person. It's going to be a topic of conversation when I go with my friends tonight. And mind you, my weather reports, like, it's incredible. I remember a couple years after I graduated, or the summer after I graduated, I was in New York City, and I'm in this fry spot or whatever, and this girl walks up to me, and she's just like, this is going to sound very weird, but she was just like, you wouldn't have happened to make weather reports at Syracuse University, would you? Middle of New York City.
Right.
And I was just like, she was just like, you helped me so much. I was a senior, you was a freshman, and you helped me so much grow and just tap into my, you know, happiness, etc., etc. Thank you. Wow. And the same thing happened with my Instagram. It was like 5 years later after mm-hmm. I, you know, 4 or 5 years later after that had ended, I was on the subway. Someone came up to me on the subway. I was interning that summer. And someone came up to me in the subway and was just like, this is going to sound weird, but you couldn't happen to have like a long time ago done art posts on Instagram, would you?
Yeah.
And I was just like, yeah. And she was just like, oh my gosh, I loved you. I started drawing because of you.
Wow.
Like, thank you. Because I would do tutorials and stuff.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so anywho, yeah.
So you went from that, and I want to get to, you know, what you're doing
right.
now. You started Instagram again.
Mm-hmm.
And when did you start your current Instagram account?
My current Instagram account, you can scroll all the way to the bottom.
Yes.
That's the second one that I made
okay.
after it got hacked.
Right.
So I've just changed my username a couple times.
Okay.
But yeah.
And how is this go round different? Because it's very different. You certainly have a lot more followers.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if your content is any different, or is it just an evolution of where you were, you know, a few years ago?
It's definitely an evolution, a combination, and a rebirth in a lot of ways. You know, my first Instagram account, I was inspiring people through art, you know? And now I'm a fine artist, you know, a professional fine artist.
Yes.
With a degree and all those fancy things.
Right.
And college, I was inspiring people to put a smile on their faces,
sure.
no matter what the weather was. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
But in both of those times, I didn't really know, like, I knew myself and I had self-awareness, but I was still going through a lot internally speaking, regarding, you know, the trauma that I had, you know, from middle school and being bullied, the rejection trauma, you know, little T trauma, you know what I mean? But like, still, it was very impactful to my confidence.
Yeah.
And which is why my joy was so powerful, you mm-hmm. know, in the midst of like, you know, I've gone through things, but I've still chosen to find happiness in my life, you know? But when I got famous on Syracuse's campus. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
When I got famous on Syracuse's campus, for me, that was really triggering for me, because all of a sudden I spent my entire life feeling and being invisible, feeling and being teased and targeted. And, you know, when it came to my experience, being seen was adjacent to being targeted, you okay. know, being
right.
seen was adjacent to being bullied. If someone sees me, they're going to find flaws in me and target me and make me feel terrible about myself. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but I'm going to believe them
mm-hmm.
when they say what they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And so I began to really, that perfectionist side of me, all those different kind of things really started to come out when I was at Syracuse, and that, you know, really, you know, hidden trauma that I had from my childhood really started to come up, because at that point I was just genuinely happy and super ecstatic to be living the life that I was living, to be away from home, to go and experience these things at school. But I was starting to experience these backfiring, like self-sabotage
mm-hmm.
kind of experiences and moments. And it didn't start happening until my friends started to change around me due to my popularity
yes.
at school.
Right.
I had a friend that told me, literally, she was just like, I don't like going out with you anymore. Mm-hmm. I was just like, huh? Why? She was just like, you're always talking to other people and people are always trying to get your attention and stuff. You're no fun to go out with anymore. Mm. And I'm just like, I get that. But like, girl, your best friend is famous. if the script was switched, I mean, I'm sure maybe I'd have a twinge of envy or jealousy every now and then. Like, why can't people see me, you know, or whatever.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, I turn around and be like, well, I'm close enough to the light.
Yeah. And it's interesting because today we were talking about this earlier. I mean, you're in a different space. And although you have more followers than you've ever had before, you don't experience that level of fame, at least where you hang and where you live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. And it's really interesting because I have the very much so full understanding of what that feels like to be so famous to where you can't even. I remember one time I ordered Domino's and someone wrote on the Domino's, "Keep smiling."
Oh no, that's uncomfortable. They were like, "Did you open this pizza?" Yeah, right. No, that would make me uncomfortable. But like,
you know, they worked there.
Yeah,
and they knew me.
But still,
they was just like, "Is this the one?"
Yeah,
one
no.
But it was still weird. All right, you know, like even people that are cooking my food,
making your pizza,
like making my pizza, they know who I am. But it's made me very, what's the word? Appreciative of the time before the true rise. You know what I mean? Because this is only the beginning for me, and I say that. I mean, I just got gallery representation. I haven't even had my first solo show yet, right? I've only been posting, you know, content virally for the past year, you know, and I didn't even, you know, really dive. Like, I didn't do the things where it's just like, be consistent, post every 3 days, do this, do that. I didn't do that. No, when I tell you my most successful video I posted after I didn't post for like nearly 2 months. I traveled for 1 month and then I came back home and I was just like, still like thinking about, you know, I don't know. I was going through this questioning of like, do people even want to hear me? Am I smart enough? Or like, you know, I was still questioning myself, you know? And so like, mind you, I say this because I'm still experiencing those thoughts every time I post.
Every time you post. So let's talk. I mean, so I want to just run briefly through, because a lot of people who are listening, I assume, have seen your IG, and some may have and or may not have and will probably check it out. But, you know, when I look at your IG, it's a lot of motivational, inspirational quotes and sayings. You know, you're usually at a desk, and you're painting, and you turn to the camera, and you have something really interesting to say. Where does your wisdom, the revelatory knowledge that you spit, really like on camera, where does that come from?
My experiences.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I have lived quite a few lives, you know?
Quite a few lives.
Like, in this lifetime, like, I've learned, it's not that I've just lived a life. I've been very intentional about becoming fearless and actively embarking on risk-taking. Mm-hmm. And I have this little quote that I say, you know, I learned this at 16 years old when I went to this, summer art program called Governor's School for the Arts, where I literally had a goal to become fearless. And I was just like, well, in order to become fearless, I have to become a risk taker, you know, because like that goes hand in hand. Like, I can't become fearless without taking risks. And so I really had the goal to become a risk taker. And I took so many risks while I was there. When I would see someone that looked interesting, and I would be like, oh, they look like a cool friend, I would force myself to talk to them.
Right.
Like very cringy, uncomfortable things. And I was saying this earlier, like people ask me, like, how do you have friends? Like, how do you, or how are you so confident, right? I'm quite the insecure person, and you know, when it comes down to it, I still fight so many insecurities throughout my everyday life and experience. What it is that I'm more comfortable than most at being seen as a fool. I'm more comfortable. I'm gaining comfortability around risk taking. I'm gaining comfortability around embarrassment. I'm gaining comfortability around these really around being seen as cringy, right? How do you make friends when I you make a fool out of yourself? You walk up to people and you start talking to them, and you are going, you know, 50-50, it's a flip of a coin. They're either going to look at you like, you're crazy, why aren't you talking to me? Or they're going to look at you and be like, where have you been? I've been looking for someone just like me. You know, oh my gosh, I love your light. Wow, you know?
Yeah, being able to get past the worst that could possibly happen is what makes it. So I want to speak to some of the themes that I've seen. Not themes, but just literally some of the videos. And I want you to... give me 3 or 4 sentences about each thing.
Okay.
Or each video and tell me like what you were thinking and where that came from. I'm just, it's almost what like, let's play this game, right?
Let's do it.
All right. So there's a video.
I'm so excited.
Which was interesting. In the video, you say, if you are ugly, that's okay. Where were you going with that? And what does that mean?
I was teased about being ugly for half of my life, majority of my life, you know, growing up. This was something I was so fearful about, and I allowed to control the way I lived my life because I knew I was seen as ugly, right? And many people would look at me today and be like, what are you talking about, Lanai? You're beautiful. What are you talking about? Well, I'm one of those people that is beautiful because I believe I'm beautiful. You know those people that, I know this is more than a couple sentences, I'm sorry.
That's fine.
But you know those people, you know those people that say, oh, I'm so ugly, but it's just like, man, what are you talking about? You are literally a model.
Right.
Like literally.
Right.
You get paid to model and you're talking about yourself being ugly. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. Right. Frustrating. And then there's those people that's just like, they're not society standard, you know, of beauty in the world. But then that same person that isn't the society standard believes that they're beautiful.
Yeah.
Right? And walks and talks and does anything that, you know, and all of a sudden it's just like, you know, they're not my type, but man, they are so beautiful, right? Like, I don't know if you see it the same way, but I'm one of those people that my confidence impacts the way I'm seen, the way we all see ourselves. Sure. It impacts, right?
Right.
There's people that don't need confidence. They just got it. You know, they just got the genes. But there's other people that don't have it, right?
Yeah.
But, and they think that that's it. You know, they don't get it, and that's it. But if you're ugly, that's okay. You can still go on and live the most incredible life as long as you let you. And there will be people along your way to look at you and say, you're ugly, so you can't. But if you look at that person and you say, I'm ugly, so I can, then baby, what can they stop you? What can they do, right? People look at me as a plus-size black woman, right? And they look at me and they say, you're undesirable, you're ugly, you're never going to have love. I'll never forget when I was in the fourth grade, I had fourth grade, 9 years old, right? These girls were sitting at my table, you know, the popular girls in the class, and were talking about how they couldn't wait to be married one day. And I chimed in. I was just like, same here. And they looked at themselves, and then they looked at me, and they started busting out laughing.
Wow.
And my 8 and 9 year old self kept asking, why are you laughing?
Sure.
Why are you laughing? Sure. And they was just like, they just kept laughing. They just kept looking and laughing, looking and laughing. I had to do the math. 1 + 1 = right? And I realized, why are they laughing? I don't understand. Why are they laughing? And then it dawned on me. I was like, wait a second. They don't think anyone will ever love me enough to want to marry me and have kids with me because I'm fat, because I'm ugly, quote unquote, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd known that people didn't view me as pretty like the other girls in the class because of my size and because of my looks. I never comprehended that that would impact the possibility for love entering my life.
Right.
I never thought that, right. Mind you, once again, I'm 8, 9 years old,
right?
I'm a kid, but I had never known. When I heard that, and that my feelings were so hurt, because I'm a romantic, right? I've always been. I believed them. I believed them. I believed them. And that is what gave that power over my life.
Right.
And now I'm in a position where I've had to unlearn that. And now I'm believing new things for myself.
Oh, wow. It's powerful.
Right? And so when I say, if you're ugly, that's okay, what I mean is they can try to define your life for you, but they can't define it for you. They will try.
Right. It's about what you're willing to receive and believe.
Yeah. Because your belief manifests.
Right.
So what you believe in creates.
So what a man thinketh, so is he. Yeah.
And so if you're ugly, that's okay. And if you think it's okay, then it will be okay.
It will be okay. Only struggle in relationships with people you like.
I was in a bunch of abusive friendships throughout my life.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget one of my closest friends, the biggest abusive friendship I was a part of, the hardest friendship that I've ever had to let go of. She asked me, she told me, she was like, well, Anaya, we're sisters. And sisters fight, you know, they argue. But what's important is that we always come back together. Right? And mind you, we did more than fight. It was psychological abuse, you know. What we would do to each other, you know, if we were the best people individually, best people. But together we brought out the worst in each other. It was terrible. And I say that to say that. I believe that because I grew up learning that in my home, outside the home, in relationships, you struggle. Relationships are meant for struggle.
Yeah.
And that was reinforced in that relationship. And so when I had grown up in that and believed that for myself, I was just like, okay, cool. When that friendship and other friendships and that I was always constantly struggling in was starting, I remember I got a gray hair, you know, and I was just like, I'm stressing too much. I'm 20 years old. Why do I have gray hair? I realized, I was just like, wait a second. It wasn't the gray hair. It was just like my constant, just, oh my God, it was terrible. Where I was just like, I'm struggling too much. I had to dream. I had one friend in my life that it was just so easy to be around. And I was just like, what if it's possible to have all my relationships like this? One by one, I started removing myself, right, from the people who would cause misery in my life. And then I had no friends, right? I was bored. It was just no misery anymore. But then there, I reached this portal where it was just like, I opened up this portal where all these new friends started pouring into my life. I stuck my ground. I didn't reach back out to anybody. And it was over like a 3-year process that I cut off.
The purging.
Yeah. And then I was alone, you know, what it felt like. And then all of a sudden, boom, I started to receive these relationships, these aligned relationships.
Yes.
Because I had to believe for myself something that I wasn't taught, that relationships were actually meant for pleasure.
Yes.
Not for struggling.
Right.
And I read this book called Addicted to Unhappiness that really harped on this. Relationships are meant to bring pleasure into your life. You're not meant to be struggling in them all the time. So what I ended up affirming for me is just like, no, you get to struggle in your relationships. Just don't struggle with people you don't like, right? We love people we don't like, right? That's possible. You cannot like someone but still love them.
Right.
So it's important to not struggle with people you love, but to be okay with struggling people, to not be okay with struggling people that you don't like. Because if you don't like them anymore, that is a sign that perhaps you're just not compatible for each other.
You're just not compatible. And it's time to move on.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing I wanted, because we kind of touched on that earlier, one thing I wanted to say, I think a lot of times what happens in friendships is that, unlike romantic relationships, you don't really have people on the outside analyzing your situation and trying to breathe a word of, I don't know, wisdom or advice to you about said relationship. You know what I mean? Like if you're, you know, dating some dude and, you know, every now and then you say something about the relationship, you know, your girlfriends will step up, or even your guy friends will be like, oh, I don't think that's the dude for you or whatever. Maybe it's time to move on, or he doesn't. Right. Because everyone feels like they can go there and talk about your romantic relationship. But no one ever really digs into friendships and say, I don't think that friend is really good.
Yeah.
Or I think it's time to end that friendship, right? Because we think about friendships as just, they don't necessarily end. They may fade, right? Mm-hmm. But we don't think about beginnings and ends. And sometimes we ought to think about friendships that way.
Yeah.
We need to be proactive about ending them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, a friendship can ruin your life just as easy as a relationship. And I know that personally because I haven't had a full-blown relationship before. Mm. And so my relationships have been my friendships, so to speak. Mm. Those have taken over my life and have gotten my time and my heart, that part of my heart, because I've never had to give that to anybody on a very intimate level, like a relationship. And and so I know firsthand that friendships can ruin you just as easy as a relationship can.
Right.
Relationships is more intimate, you know, you're intimate in different ways.
Right.
But so it may take a little longer for a friendship to hurt you as deeply.
Right.
But hey, persistence is key.
Mm-hmm. It's like, what was it, Maya Angelou, I think, used to say to Oprah that, I may be getting this wrong, but it's almost like, you know, in relationships, like someone who wants to take you down will take a small piece of you every time. And it can be over years. And it's just a little bit more of you each time. And then you look up and you're gone. Because they've pecked and they've pecked and they've pecked and they've left you without
you.
Anything. Yeah. To peck off, you know. And so that's powerful. Slow growth is still growth.
So this came from my mindset in terms of my relationship with my growth over Instagram and my following. Because, I mean, it's not a bad thing to want more followers. It really isn't. But what you have to realize is that followers aren't followers. Followers are people, right? You may not ever meet them. But there is a person on the other side of that screen being impacted in such a way to where either they're inspired by you and they want more, or they envy you and they want your life. And so they want to follow you to try to get a sense of it, right? Or whatever it is, you know, like, or both or whatever. Like, these people, they're people, though. They're real people just like you. So when we think about things regarding numbers, things can get a bit inhumane very quickly because we're not really thinking about the soul nature of what a follow really means. Because when we think about it from a very capitalistic point of view of like more, 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 right? The soul is not there, you know? But when we think of, oh my gosh, 10 people followed me today. That's 10 souls. If 10 people was a pop-up right now, oh my gosh, like, and tell me, hey, I really like that video. Thanks. I want to see more, you know, or even like, wow, you just changed the course of my week. Thank you. Or, wow, that one thought now looking back, that helped me get that job. Thank you for sharing that, right? Which, and I've gotten all those different kind of comments sent to me in my DMs and stuff.
Yeah, what do your DMs look like? I mean, you have a lot of followers. I mean, is it like if you open up your DMs now, are you going to have 100 messages? Do you like, what is that like on a day to day? Is that
no? A lot of people imagine that my DMs are most likely filled, so a lot of people don't message me, or a lot of people are really afraid of the idea of me not messaging back, right? So they don't even try. But the reality of it is that my DMs are not popping. You know, maybe within a span of a week, if I have a viral video, I'll have maybe 30 messages.
Really?
you know, and a lot of those messages, you know, are from people who have mentioned me in their story or, you know, whatever. Like, I don't know. I've never counted. Maybe it's like 50 or something, you know, but it's nothing ridiculous. It's never been ridiculous.
I assume at this point, you don't feel compelled, right, to answer DMs. Or are you at a place now where it's like, I don't have time. That's not practical.
It's really not that practical with my schedule with painting. But I make time anyways because I'm really honored that people would take out the time to message me. And the messages really add to my life. Okay. You know, they really make me feel like, oh, wow, that it's really doing something. I'm like, these messages that I'm sharing with people are really impacting people in real ways. And people are really taking their time out of their schedule to let me know about that. That's honorable. I want to honor that. And I can't answer everybody.
No, you can't answer everyone. Mm-hmm. And I always wonder, because there are always going to be people out there who feel like they know you. They're getting to know you because they see. And so they message you and you may respond. But then you see them again next week. And do you ever feel a sense of, gosh, obligation to
no?
You're just like,
that's,
I can't.
And that's maturity for
that's
me.
That's maturity.
That's maturity for me. I don't feel obligated to anybody other than God, you know what I mean? Like, I just, no one owns me. I don't own anybody. Like, no one's paying me. You know, I mean, people do send me, you know, money sometimes, but that's very rare, you know, I don't display it. You know, it's in my bio, you know, but it doesn't happen very often at all. I've asked for help before and I've received help. Mm-hmm. And that was like a miracle of a moment for me. Mm-hmm. It helped me be able to put a down payment on my car. That's what I asked for. It was like, it was a whole thing, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I got help. I really needed it at the time. I got help. My followers came through. And that was a time that money was sent. But other than that, like, no, it's very rare that I'll get tip. And I think it's because I don't display it. And the reason why I don't is because I consider my work a part of a ministry in a sense, you know. But hey, even in a ministry, they take offerings. They take up offerings.
That's right.
So I'm praying. I'm actually praying about
run.
It because I was, you know, it's not easy for me yet to pay my bills, you know, and have everything. I mean, I had my apartment for 10 months and then I moved into this one, 11 months, technically. 2 out of the 11 months, I knew how I was paying my rent the month before. Right. So each month I'm going into it like, how am I paying my rent, God? How are you going to pay my rent, Jesus? Yeah. And it's even to this point, I'm just like, I had to talk to my gallery owner. I'm just like, yo, you know, I don't know how I'm paying my rents because I still got to pay my last, you know, apartment off too. My lease ends next month. I don't know how I'm paying my rent next month, you know.
Right.
And the reason why I have this space now and I just moved is because I was, you know, January, I was thinking about February and I was asking God, why am I in this position? I got 250,000 followers. I have gallery representation. Why am I in a position to where I'm asking how am I paying my rent next month? Like, I shouldn't be doing this. And I heard the Lord reply back. He was just like, the reason you don't have is you have not. He said, you have not because you haven't asked for enough.
Oh, wow.
You have not because you haven't asked for enough. Thank you for that reaction, because that's the reaction I had. You have not because you haven't asked for enough. And I felt his presence. It was a weight.
It's a faith issue.
And I was just like, oh my gosh. And literally a couple of days before, he had me, like, I heard the Holy Spirit tell me, you need to start reading your journals, your past journals. And so I read a past journal entry from a year ago where I wrote out the budget for the life I have now. Or had, excuse me, because it was.
Yeah.
I wrote out that budget, and literally it was scary to a T. And I had no idea how God would make a way. But it was literally, I wrote that journal entry 2 days before I started posting on Instagram. Like seriously. Because I had a conversation with a friend who was going through a hard time. And I was just doing my best to uplift him, you know. And it brought him to tears. And he was just like, Lanaya, I don't know what you need to do, but you need to start sharing this part of you with the world. Mm. He was just like, I don't know if you need to start a podcast. I don't know what you need to do. But he was just like, Lanai, people, he was just like, listen, I'll put it this way. Not everyone deserves a friend like you, Lanaya, but everyone surely needs one. Mm. And when he said that, I was just like, I need a friend like me. You damn right. I need somebody that's going to be able to lift me up. And so that's the next day I started posting on Instagram.
Wow.
More consecutively. I had been posting already for a year, but I started really seriously. I had my why. I needed to be a friend to those in need.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I love that.
And my audience was Lanaya, my past self. Like, I'm talking to her every video. So I'm very clear on my why. I'm very clear on my audience. And I think that's why it really resonates. Because I know what I'm doing and what I'm doing it for and who I'm talking to.
Yeah, I worked with a young college student who I actually interviewed for my podcast. And he's in the YouTube space. And he said that your audience always is the people who are two steps behind you.
Come on, baby.
Isn't that wild? That and just beautiful. So I just heard you say that, right? These are people beautiful. Who are, they're looking to you and they're just right behind. They may not be on your trajectory, but they need what you got.
Yeah. Wow.
Isn't that powerful?
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. And so here's the last one. You, because we talked about this other one, but let's go to this one. You did not miss your chance. You missed a chance. You're going to talk to me here, but let's go.
Listen. I just had a thought, though, from the last quote. Excuse me as I go back real quick. There was a moment where my videos weren't hitting with the algorithm after I'd already gained like 100,000 followers. And I was kind of stuck at the, you know, 100K or whatever. And my growth had like just kind of got to a lull, you know.
Right.
I was still growing. It was just really slow to me, right? Mm-hmm. But it's crazy because the same way I would look at 4,000 views when I just, you know, had first gotten, you know, started off, I would get 4,000, 5,000 views on a really good video. And when I would look at the video, I'd be like, okay, all right, they did pretty good. All right, thank you. The same way I felt about 4,000 views is the same way I feel about 250,000 views now.
Mm.
I would say that again. The same way I felt, the same feeling. Oh, wow, okay. I did pretty good. All right, good. Did pretty good on the algorithm. All right. Is the same way I feel with 250,000 views. The thing that changed was my perception, right?
Okay.
Of the number.
Okay.
Right? And my value of the number, right? If you were to tell me I got 250,000 views at the time that I was doing 4,000 views, I would have been like, I would have cried tears of joy. Mm. What are you talking about? Are you serious? Right? The number that would make me feel that way now, I don't even know what that number, I don't even know what that number is.
Yeah.
I don't think I've reached that number yet.
Right.
Just something that'd be like just completely unimaginable. You know what I mean? 20 million would probably be like, oh my
That's a
God, wow. Like that would probably get me to be like, whoa. But, it's interesting because, and I say that, you know, slow growth is still growth. When I get into my mind, once again, about these followers, these numbers, things like that, when I get into my mind about it, because it can easily get that right. Because now my mid-tone is 250,000 views.
Okay.
So I can easily get 60,000 views on something.
Right.
And be like, dang, that flopped.
Wow.
Right. You saying wow, I'm saying no, yeah, no, that is a flop.
Wow.
Because that's what is a flop to me. Like, dang, you know, 40,000 views, 80,000 views, dang. That. Okay, all right. I can easily get there, right? What keeps me grounded is my one person rule, okay? When I was getting 4,000 views, this is the rule I followed. 4 million views, this is the rule I follow. Has it impacted one person visually? Like, I can see it it's a comment, it's a share, it's words of affirmation. Like, is there one person that's been impacted? Okay, I've done my job. I got a 100%. Amen. How much extra credit am I going to get? You know, like, right, anything else is extra credit.
Wow.
So I keep myself grounded through the thought process of, because it can eat. I'm telling you, dude, these number things, it's insane. That's the reason why I say the same way I view 250K is how I view 4K. Mm. It is such a perception thing. It's wild because you don't really see it as people. You see it as numbers,
yeah,
right? It's like this figment of your imagination almost. And so it's just like, it's so important for you to ground yourself in something that no matter what, you're going to be proud of yourself. You're going to be happy with yourself. You're going to still feel used and, you know, by God. You're going to still feel in alignment with your purpose, because the moment you get into the numbers, the moment your dream starts to wither. Because now it's impacted by how good or bad something goes, how big or small something goes, and good and bad and big and small is all centered around your perception of those things, right? I think we were talking about this earlier. Oh, you got a big nose, you got a big nose. Compared to what?
Right.
All right?
Right.
That the 80,000 views is a flop to me compared to what? My 7 million view video, my 2 million view video, right? Compared to that,
right,
I'm comparing it to something.
Right.
I have a value set in my mind, mm-hmm, and it's continuously shifting as I continue to grow and get bigger and do more things and do greater things, right? And the perfectionism, which still lives in me that I still have to continuously fight, will make me view things in such a way in which if it ain't 100%,
mm-hmm,
what is it? Mm. You know what I mean? If it ain't perfect, is it even worth it? You know, like, ooh, that's a rhyme. If it ain't perfect, is it even worth it? But anyways, I said it to say that I started to see, these are affirmations that I tell myself.
Yes, yes.
I had to go with that and be like, okay, I've only gained 5,000 followers. Yeah, listen, I'm telling you, the numbers game will F you up. You have to stay grateful. You have to stay surrendered. You have to stay humble. Because if you don't, I'm telling you, I've gained within the past week, I think I've gained like 12,000 followers or something.
Right.
Like that's a good week. This has been a good week for me because, mm-hmm, I haven't posted anything.
Okay.
For recently, for real.
It's like residual income.
It's just residual. Exactly. I can't wait till my money starts moving that way, baby. Listen.
I'm not doing like, anything. It's just growing. It's
just,
yes, growing.
It's just growing from the things that I've posted before. Mm. So, you know, gaining 1,000 followers, that's every couple days. You know, if I have a good video going. You know, if what I'm doing is impacting people and stuff, that's something, that's my normal. You know what I mean? Before it wasn't, now it is. But yeah, so I would tell myself, hey, don't you listen, I talk to myself. I talk to that voice. You ain't gonna bully me, baby.
Mm.
Mm-mm. No. We don't do that around these parts no more.
Right.
Hey, chill it out. What you mean? What you mean 1,000 followers? What you mean 80,000 views?
Right.
Ain't nothing. Hold up. Honey, slow growth is still growth, baby. Right?
Yes.
And I'll be like, oh, wait. Hey, let me write that down.
Mm.
Right? So that's what I mean by slow growth is still growth. And you didn't miss your chance. You missed a chance. I mean, back in 2019, when I was down in the dumps, I really felt like I missed my chance. I was young too, man. I was young as hell. I had so many chances ahead of me.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I thought that I missed it. I thought I messed up forever. I didn't realize that since the world goes round, chances do too, you know.
Absolutely.
You just have to keep your mind. Absolutely. On the prize, you have to keep your mind open. You have to keep being aware of gratitude, what to be grateful for, et cetera, et cetera. And so when it came to that quote, it was just like, yo, there's a difference. You didn't miss your chance. You missed a chance. You don't have a chance. They're not even yours, dude. Yeah. They're not even yours.
Right.
Right. If you believe in God, they're God's chances and he's just giving them to you.
Right.
They're not even your chance. You don't have a chance.
Right.
You don't have a chance. They're not even yours.
Right, cause it's almost like, you know, missing your exit mm-hmm. on a highway. And it's like, well, you get off on the next exit and you make your way back.
Exactly. It's okay. It's okay.
Even the opportunity to learn, and we all know this, well, we should, a lesson that you have not learned, it will come back around.
You didn't miss your lesson.
It's coming back.
It's coming back.
Because you do have to. And I find the most effective people get it when it comes back around, or get it the first time around. And it's okay to, you know, if it's the third time around, but if you can actually learn and apply the first time, the second time, that makes you really efficient. This has been an amazing conversation. I have learned so much and I continue to learn, and I'm sure your viewers, your listeners are going to just really learn from this interview, learn more about you, and this has been wonderful.
Wow. I'm so glad you think so.
Yeah,
this is really been... flew all the way out here.
I flew all the way to Louisville.
Listen, I'm so freaking honored. Do you know how good that makes me feel, man? Mm. Like, I'm just like, I talked to my mom today. I was just like, yeah, somebody all the way from DC came out to talk to me.
Wow.
You know, that means the world to me.
Yeah.
Like, ain't nobody done that before.
Well, I'm happy to be the first.
Listen.
Happy to be the first.
That makes me feel so good. So yes. Grateful. And I appreciate you, and I appreciate our blossoming friendship.
Yes.
And I can't wait to continue to stay connected. But this has been a blast. Please create your show and just keep learning, keep blossoming, keep going. And do it imperfectly. Embrace the imperfection. Embrace the experimentation. Embrace play. Because God is playful. You can't tell?
God is playful. Yeah, and your gift will make room for you.
Yeah. The people think he's so serious. Okay, if we're all reflections of God, if we're all made in his image, and there's a such thing as comedians in the world,
yes.
You don't think God knows how to make somebody laugh?
Yeah.
You don't think God is a comedian, ain't a comedian himself, right? He's also a mathematician. He's always also serious, and but he's all of it, all at once.
Yeah.
All that we have, he has that within him too, all those good things. And he could exhibit the bad things too, in my understanding, yet he chooses good every day. And he's so faithful, and he's so, he's just amazing. But anyways, like, Please follow your dreams.
Yes.
It's never too late. You didn't miss your chance. You missed a chance.
A little bit of gray, but I'm doing it. So for the two people on earth who don't know where to find you online and in the social media space, where can they find you?
I am on Instagram. I'm on TikTok. And I have a website. All of it is either at or www.laniaroberts.com. LaniaRoberts, and that's my name.
Awesome. Laniah Roberts, this has been fantastic. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.